different rule, one that gives the harvest moon designation to the first full moon following the equinox. In either case, both the hunters and harvest moons are characterized by rising early in the evening for several nights in a row. Tonight's full moon is also very likely to be a harbinger of high tides, known as spring tides. The moon is full during the day today, and it's closest to Earth, or at perigee, this evening. We all know the moon's gravity pulls on Earth's oceans to cause the tides, but the sun plays a role too. And at full moon, the moon and sun are lined up in space to create a greater than usual effect. Add that to a moon particularly close to Earth, and you have these especially high tides, or spring tides. And in case you're wondering how we can have spring tides in the autumn, in this case the word spring has nothing to do with the season. Instead, it comes from an ancient verb springen, which means to leap up. This is Stardate, our writer and our producer, Deborah Bird. For a copy of Stardate magazine, send your name and address and $1 to the University of Texas McDonald Observatory, Austin, zip 78712. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block. We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
That's right. We don't have the theme yet. We don't have the brand new theme for Brain Damage yet. And so, as a substitute, once again, yet another remix of an old B.A.D. song.
And now, our feature presentation.
Listen keenly.
A game broke up somewhere.
Exclusive version of B.A.D.
Thank you.
let's go.
Shake
two. One, two.
Three, four.
Three, four.
One, two.
Left, right.
Shake
two. Well, he's got it off the right.
And that's Big Audio Dynamite as they march away. One of the few bands that actually qualifies as a military regiment. Don't know if many people know that. They're good, too. 8 minutes after 10 o'clock, good evening, Brain Damage with you here on a Saturday night. And in case you're wondering what that was, it was a little ditty called B.A.D. Overture from a special 12-inch Love Sensei. It's kind of a takeoff on the Prince thing, you know. And we heard that in place of the regular Brain Damage intro, which does not exist. But that's just the way it goes. It's a call-in show, and we have all kinds of special people around who will be dropping in later on. And we'll be taking your calls, too, at 632-6901. That's right, 632-6901. We'll be playing around with a few things and having a bit of fun, all that kind of nonsense. But this was a great week, wasn't it? I mean, everything from outer space creatures to racial attacks to the stock market crash. I mean, it's just, you know, well-rounded, something for everybody. Let's start with the most important thing. A three-eyed alien with a robot sidekick made a boy temporarily vanish by zapping him with a pistol, a Soviet newspaper reported. What day was that? Gosh, you know, I cut these things out of the newspaper and I forget to write down the date, but it says yesterday, so it was sometime this week. In a second day of strange tales in the state-run media claiming a space invasion of the city of Voronezh, which sounds like a city that's been invaded by space many times, a scientist whose words were used to buttress the first published report said he was in part misquoted. Don't believe all you hear from TASS, Genrikh Silonov, head of the Voronezh Geophysical Laboratory, cautioned in a telephone interview with the AP. We never gave them part of what they published. On Monday, the official Soviet news agency told the world that scientists, if you haven't heard this is pretty amazing, that scientists had confirmed an alien spaceship carrying giant people with tiny heads had touched down in Voronezh, a city of more than 800,000 people about 300 miles southeast of Moscow. And I'm sure we'll be hearing more about this on Moscow Mailbag, which, by the way, isn't on this week because we didn't get the tape. So that's just the way that goes. But I'm sure those folks on there will, Joe Adamoff and friends will be happy to answer questions about just what the hell's going on in the Soviet Union. I mean, a little glasnost and already they're into space aliens. TASS, and this is the Soviet, official Soviet press agency, quoted Silonov as saying the aliens left behind two rocks of a material that cannot be found on Earth and described, the UFO's landing site. I guess this was on Tuesday or perhaps Wednesday, Silonov told the Associated Press, the rock they described as extraterrestrial is in fact a piece of iron oxide which could easily have originated on Earth, and that the landing site could have been formed by an underground pipe or cable or reservoir. The phone connection was abruptly cut off before Silonov could answer more questions. Usually it's because of political things, but now it's because of extraterrestrial things that they're cutting off phone calls. Meanwhile, the Communist Party paper's Sovietskaya Kultura was the only major national daily to print anything yesterday about the UFO, while more authoritative newspapers like Pravda were silent. Sovietskaya Kultura quoted witnesses as saying the UFO, a sphere, flew into Voronezh on September 27th, and that witnesses saw an apparent robot and a three-eyed alien about 10 feet tall, clad in silvery overalls and bronze-colored boots and wearing a disc on his chest. The newspaper quoting witnesses said the alien had a pistol, a tube about 20 inches long, which it pointed at an unidentified 16-year-old boy, making him disappear. And when the sphere took off, the boy reappeared. Yes, one is tempted to make all kinds of light of this situation, and I've seen, you know, articles poking fun at them in the New York Times, Newsday, just about everything. In fact, I'm sure even the National Enquirer can't resist this one. But, you know, it sure would be nice if it was true, wouldn't it? I mean, I think it would be nice. I've always dreamed of the day when mankind first meets another race from another planet, you know. And just, what's that going to be like, you know? What are we going to learn? I mean, we're going to learn so much. We're going to learn about how other cultures exist, other intelligent life forms, what other worlds are like. Just the mere fact that there are other worlds, which I'm pretty certain about, but a lot of people aren't. I always assumed that day would never come for me, but maybe it will. You know, maybe it's already come, and maybe there's a big cover-up. Who knows? Maybe it's all part of the Soviet Union's openness to tell the truth about everything, even the things that we don't want them to talk about. So while it may all be a bunch of nonsense, maybe something really did happen. Sure would be nice, in my opinion, anyway. And if you have any thoughts on that, feel free to give us a call and expand upon them. What else? Okay, stock market crash yesterday. Wasn't that fun? Well, it didn't actually crash. I mean, this was... Okay, what happened was it dipped. You know, the Dow Jones or whatever just sort of went down a couple hundred points. And it's funny because this always seems to happen on Fridays first. Last time it crashed a few years ago, the Friday before, I remember this very clearly, before it crashed, I remember people saying, wow, the stock market did something weird today. And then, you know, you sort of had in the back of your mind a concern, what's going to happen on Monday, you know, are people going to panic or what? And sure enough, people did panic. And now it's the exact same thing, another Friday going into a Monday in October, too. And wasn't the original stock market crash in October, the one in 1929, you know, the little one? So who knows? It could be another one. And in Friday's paper, there was an article called Ready for Black Monday 2? Market Expert Says Another Crash is Coming. Now, keep in mind, this article appeared before the events of yesterday took place. And, again, if you haven't been near a radio or newspaper or civilization, you may not have known this, but something strange happened to the stock market yesterday. And if anyone out there knows how that will affect people like me, well, okay, maybe that's a bad example. People in general, how's that? If anyone knows how it will affect the average person, you know, the person that, well, I'm sure we've all seen one at some point. But, you know, just anyone, even not average people, just people in general. If anyone knows, understands this stuff, because I don't understand it. I'll admit that freely. I don't understand what's going on with the stock market, how it affects me. I mean, whether it's up or down, things seem pretty much the same to me. And the folks I know seem to agree with that. So since we're obviously blatantly wrong about something, please give us a call and let us know just how it all works. Anyway, this article, which appeared in the Associated Press, says nearly 2 years after Black Monday drove Wall Street into a tailspin, a Cornell University stock market expert is predicting another crash is just around the corner. The market is now showing alarming similarities to conditions before the crash of October 19, 1987, said finance professor Avner R. Bell, who served as a consultant to the Brady Commission, a presidential panel appointed to study the causes of Black Monday. I expect it to happen again, and it could be triggered by something relatively minor, said R. Bell, citing international incidents or signs of an economic slowdown as examples. The market is very sensitive to news right now. Paramount among Arbel's concerns is the deteriorating health of small companies, which make up about one-third of the business market. He said their stock is overpriced, their earnings are extremely volatile, and their growth in sales and profits is generally poor. Small companies really represent the financial future of this country, Arbel said. Traditionally, that's the sector of the economy where growth and innovation come from. Weakness in the sector is equivalent to weakness in our youth. It's highly significant for the future. Oh, a drug problem in the stock market. Oh wow! Can you imagine? I'm just drawing a parallel there, but you know, like the youth is invaded by drugs and it weakens the entire structure of the whole society. Wow, this could make a good book. Small companies were showing the same symptoms before the 1987 crash, with an extremely high price to earning ratio of 22. Now that ratio stands at about 20, he said. I have no idea what I just said. Arbel said he is equally troubled by the depth and prevalence of debt today and the shaky financing that debt is based on, which makes it quite vulnerable to downturns in the economy. Right. Many corporate buyouts in the past 2 years have been leveraged by junk bonds, which are high yield but also high risk, so even a recession could have disastrous effects on these companies, Arbel said. Arbel, who wrote the 1989 book, Crash 10 Days in October, Will It Strike Again?, places much of the blame for the 1987 crash on what he calls an antiquated stock trading system. During normal sales activity, the traders work as a buffer against stock lurches, buying when people want to sell and selling when people want to buy. Doesn't sound like they're very cooperative, but I guess that's just the way it works. They're supposed to lean against the wind, but when the wind is a storm, they cannot do it, he said. The trading system is totally inadequate for today's high-speed, complex world of international finance, Arbell warned. It needs to be thoroughly revamped if future crashes are to be avoided. And that's, again, that appeared before the stock market took a rather large tumble yesterday, and who knows what's going to happen on Monday. Now, what I'm curious about is, since it's a good chance, I mean, I don't want to say it's going to happen, but it is a good chance, you know, a better chance than on most days that something really bad is going to happen with the stock market on Monday. Where's the best place to be for something like that? I mean, I'm just thinking of, you know, hanging out and just watching things, and I don't know where exactly to go. Do you just go to a cafe near Wall Street or something and just watch people, kill themselves? Or do you just sit by the radio? Do you watch CNN? What do, you know? Where's the best place to be during a stock market crash, you know? Something to tell the kids about. Those are the questions I have. Okay, what else? More prophecies of doom. Columbus Day virus doesn't bug computer users in U.S. Remember this Columbus Day virus? Well, actually, it was the Friday the 13th virus. Well, got news for you folks. Us computer hackers got into Wall Street, and we made the stock market crash. What do you think of that, huh? I shouldn't say that, actually. Some of these media people might be listening. They'll take me seriously. It's amazing, because for the last week, 2 weeks, people have been asking, what's going to happen with this Columbus Day virus? Are all computers going to stop working on Columbus Day? I mean, intelligent people, you know, people that are in the thick of things, that people that use computers and know what's going on, know who the president is, you know, they're updated in all this. And they're going around asking, are computers going to all break down on Friday because of this virus? And you just want to yell at them. You want to say, well, how stupid can you possibly be, you know? It's a computer, for God's sake. All you have to do is change the date on the computer. The computer doesn't know if it's really this day or not. You just change the date on the computer. If something happens, then you know you're in trouble. If nothing happens, then you're fine. But, I mean, the odds of something like that happening are so infinitesimal as to be ridiculous. The only difference with this computer virus is that we had an advance notice of it. You know, we had a date in the future, and that allows people's fears to build up. Anyway, the Columbus Day computer virus apparently didn't make it across the Atlantic. There's some conjecture as to whether or not it was on the other side of the Atlantic either. Some computer experts had feared widespread destruction of computer files and programs yesterday, the trigger day of the new and ruinous form of virus or program. But according to the consultants and trade organizations, the European-bred virus was a no-show stateside. In fact, virus attacks in general were no more widespread than usual, which is, I guess, zero. A computer virus is coding hidden inside legitimate programs that can pop up unexpectedly to destroy data or display a message, and which can be transmitted over computer networks or phone lines, hence the name. If there was a major problem, we would know, said John McAfee, chairman of the Santa Clara, California-based Computer Virus Industry Association, but so far, nothing. He receives 30 to 40 virus reports a day, and yesterday was average. I'd like to know more about that. Virus watchers nevertheless warn computer users to keep their guard up. Viruses, they say, can appear any time, not just Friday the 13th, a favorite trigger date. NASA, the Air Force, AT&T, and other organizations had warned employees who used IBM and IBM-compatible computers to take precautions. The Columbus Day virus, also known as Friday the 13th, and data crime, was programmed for release anytime after Thursday. The virus makes it impossible to access files from a hard data storage disk. Bruce Baker, program manager for SRI International in Menlo Park, California, warned that data crime is a relatively new virus and hasn't had time to spread in the U.S. Just because nothing hit doesn't mean we're all home free, he says. And in Britain, the Royal National Institute for the Blind reported it was struck by a virus, but experts say it wasn't data crime. We found that most of our program files are gone. Every time we try to look at a new program file, it vanishes in front of our eyes. I can't believe they said that, being from the National Institute for the Blind. Months and months of work have been wiped out here. I mean, that's, you know, that's just opening yourself up to all kinds of things. Oh, boy, what else? What else? Oh, yes, racial attacks in Brooklyn. It's becoming like a weekly phenomenon, isn't it? I mean, we've forgotten about Bensonhurst, haven't we? Now it's, now Jews are the target. Isn't that special? I mean, don't want anyone to feel left out now, do we? Well, if I can find the article, had everything all neatly pulled out and stuff. Hold on. I got it here. Okay. Did anybody see? They arrested three people, right? They arrested, I think, at least three people for the attack of three Jewish students outside our party. And this was, I believe, on Saturday night, last Saturday night, early Sunday morning. Now, I've seen idiots before. I've seen stupid behavior. But, I mean, the defense that these people come up with, I mean, how cretinous do they think people are to believe something like this? This is what they said. This is what the people that are alleged to have attacked these three people coming out of the party, this is what one of them said. His name is, let's see, what is his name? Anthony Sorrentino, an 18-year-old high school student from the Gravesend section of Brooklyn. He was innocently walking down the street with about 15 friends when one of these Jewish kids jumped him and said, "All right, wise guy, I'm a kike." I mean, come on already. You know, I mean, three mild-looking Jewish kids are going to jump a gang of 15 people and say, "All right, I'm a kike, let's go," you know? This is crazy. This is really crazy. I don't understand what's going on with the legal system. I mean, if someone's guilty, you know, why not just admit it instead of making up these ridiculous lies that nobody's going to believe? You know? It's incredible. Enough said about that, though, because, there's been enough about this in the media, but it's an ongoing thing, you know? And maybe if anyone has any suggestions as to what to do. There was something in Corum, too. There was the police, the Suffolk County police, who are experts on racist attacks, said that it was not a racial attack. They have certain criteria for that, I guess. As two of several white Selden teenagers suspected in the beating of two black Corum youths last week were arrested, investigators said yesterday, or actually on Thursday, they have concluded the assault was not racially motivated, a decision the victims adamantly disputed. It has been determined, Detective Sergeant Joseph Zito of the 6th Precinct said, that causative factors for this altercation are an ongoing rivalry between two local high schools, a get-together of youths who have social ties to both schools, and an exchange of verbal challenges and racial epithets. And he was unable to answer the question as to why the two white kids that were with the two black kids were not attacked. Investigators acknowledge that racial epithets were used, but concluded that the abusive language was caused by the fight rather than instigating it. Now, how? I really am curious about this. How did the police get this information? They weren't there. There's only two sides to the story. There's the victims and the perpetrators. Now, the victims are saying it was a racist attack, right? And the perpetrators are saying, no, it wasn't a racist attack, but the perpetrators, damn it, are perpetrators, you know? You don't always believe everything that perpetrators say, whereas victims are more likely to, to at least tell the truth sometimes. So, the way it appears to me is the police just believe the perpetrators, and they don't want a racist thing to be acknowledged. Not that it really makes that much of a difference when you really think about it. I mean, you know, in a way, the victims seem almost eager to make it into a racial issue. And what do we gain by that, you know? What do we really gain? I mean, nobody in their right mind is going to deny that there's racists around Suffolk County. I mean, you know, it's all over the place. It's everywhere. It's not just in Suffolk. It's in Nassau. It's in Connecticut. It's all over the place. But, so it's a racist attack, you know? Does that make it worse than just an attack on two innocent people or four innocent people or whatever? I mean, it should be acknowledged if it's true, and I think it's quite likely to be true because I know there's a lot of racist elements around. And again, as I said, Suffolk County Police are no strangers to this. I mean, when was the last time you saw a black Suffolk County police officer, huh? And let's get real here. What else? It's been a busy week, hasn't it? Oh, the curfew. Yeah. Can you believe this? They want to have a curfew on Halloween? Now, what do you kids out there think of this? Now, the Suffolk County Legislature apparently has voted to have a countywide curfew from 8 p.m. to 4 a.m. on Halloween night for all youngsters aged 17 and under that are not accompanied by adults or who lack an explanatory note from a parent or a guardian. Now, that's seems a bit heavy-handed to me. I mean, yeah, there's vandalism, there's toilet paper and shaving cream and that kind of nonsense, but, you know, does it really require martial law tactics? Now, County Executive Pat Halpin has sworn that he will veto this. He apparently is one of the people that doesn't like the ideas of curfews and things like that, but one has to wonder how support for something like this could come about. Anyway, County Executive Patrick Halpin immediately promised to veto the curfew, which was approved in the legislature by a vote of 10-6, with one abstention and one not present. Supporters would have to garner two more votes to override Halpin's veto. A similar curfew was placed in effect last year in the tiny Nassau County village of Port Washington North, and is also in effect this year. Now, the sponsor of the bill, legislator Patrick Mahoney, Republican of West Islip, said the curfew was aimed at cutting down on Halloween vandalism, such as slashed tires and broken windows. Mahoney is running for county sheriff, said he also is concerned about the safety of police officers on Halloween night. Saying he's confident he can muster the 12 votes needed for an override, he said it is time to cut down on Halloween vandalism, and that last year, in Port Jefferson, a police officer was hurt after he tripped while chasing several teenagers on Halloween. Come on! Why not just shoot all the teenagers, then? I mean, look, if a teenager trips while being chased by a police officer, are you going to outlaw the police officers? That's the same kind of logic. Or lack of logic, or whatever. There are people who are virtually prisoners in their own home on Halloween, Mahoney said. We've always heard about the fact why... We've always heard after the fact, why doesn't somebody do something about it? Mahoney has the backing of the 2,400-member Suffolk Patrolman's Benevolent Association, which is headed by his brother, Michael. And legislator Michael DeAndre, Republican of St. James, who supported the measure, said he believed the curfew would help decrease damage to property in the county caused by Halloween pranksters. But opponents of the curfew include the Suffolk Police Department and the county chapter of the American Civil Liberties Union. And Halpin, who admitted to trick-or-treating during evening hours when he was a youth, oh my God, listen to that, called Mahoney the Grinch that stole Halloween. The police should be spending time chasing and arresting criminals who are outbreaking the law, Halpin said. I thought Scrooge's Day was Christmas, not Halloween. David Jampol, chairman of the Suffolk ACLU, said the ACLU generally opposes curfews under any circumstances. These are grounds of basic liberties, a person's right to be out on the street. Legislator Joseph Rizzo, Republican of Islip Terrace, who abstained from the vote, said there is no chance he will vote to override a Halpin veto. Rizzo said he abstained because neither side offered a convincing argument. Well, I like people's opinions on that. If it affected you, you know, if you were someone that was told you had to stay in after 8 o'clock, would you do it, you know? Personally, I think the only way to counter something like this is for everybody to disobey it, because that's just not a, a democratic kind of a rule. I mean, treating Halloween like it's a national emergency is a bit much, you know? That's the way I look on it. Now, somewhere in the studio is Jim Wiener. I don't know if he can hear me, but if he's around anywhere, I want him to come by, say something, if he's in a remote studio. But I don't know, he's around here somewhere. If anyone sees him, please send him this way, because we haven't done a show together in, not since before I went away, you know, in months. It's been many months. So, Jim, wherever you are, come over here. Our number is 632-6901, area code 516. If you want to talk about racist attacks, curfews, what have you, spaceship aliens, that kind of thing. How about, boy, I clipped too many things, don't I? How about the flag burning thing, eh? Yes, President George Bush said he will not veto a law to outlaw flag burning, even though he will continue trying to amend the Constitution as a stronger way to accomplish the same end. I don't think it's enough, Bush said of the flag legislation approved by the House and Senate. He said he will allow the newly passed bill to become law automatically without his signature, but added he does not think the law will withstand legal challenges. I don't know, folks. I don't know. I just don't think we're doing enough to protect the flag against the people, or from the people, you know? Until that flag is protected from all of us, we're not safe. But the flag, of course, is more important than us. If anybody even so much as thinks badly of the flag, then, of course, we're all in danger. You know? It's like, before you know it, people will be saying the flag is merely a symbol. Merely a piece of cloth. You know? It's incredible. I've never met more people that wanted to burn the flag until after all this nonsense went through. It's 10:33. You're tuned to WUSB in Stony Brook. Brain Damage is the program. If you can't figure that out, there's something wrong with you. Our number is 516-632-6901. Don't know where Jim Wiener is, but whenever he deigns to show up, we will hear what he has to say on this whole matter. In the meantime, let's hear from you. Good evening. What's going on there? You sound like you're on Pluto.
Oh, well, you know who it is.
No, I don't know who it is. It sounds like you're very far away.
Ah, now, Sam, you know who it is. It's the one and only Doomsday.
Well, there's something really wrong with your telephone. Why don't you, like, hit the mouthpiece really hard on the desk there, or wherever you are.
The last time you did that, it broke.
Well, apparently it's gotten worse since then.
How is it now?
It's still pretty bad.
Oh.
All right, that's better.
It is. I walked to the garage.
Oh, you're on a cordless phone.
Yeah, I'm working on a car tonight.
No wonder.
I'm talking about the stock market.
Uh-huh. What do you think of the stock market?
Well, first, let me just clear up a few things before we even get into that.
Are you talking straight into the mouthpiece?
Yeah.
Oh,
I have to, because then you won't be able to hear me.
Well, can I ask you a favor?
What?
Can you scream, just like yell really loudly? And I realize that might attract your neighbors and things like that, but it also will add emphasis to whatever you're saying over the radio.
Yeah, but if I scream, I'll be the same old fanatic.
Well, that's okay. We need a fanatic to start things off. Go ahead, scream.
I don't know.
No, you sound like a wimp. Come on, give me some gusto here.
Plunge into the depths of despair.
There we go. That's good.
One and only doomsayer.
Okay, enough of this self-whatever. Just tell me what's on your mind.
You don't want to hear the fanfare?
No fanfare. Just get right to the point.
Before we go to the stock market, let's see. All right. You want to change the intro to your show, the soliloquy or whatever you want.
Yeah, it's long overdue.
No good.
It's against FCC law to have the same intro for more than a couple of years.
Oh, and then another thing, brain damage. I said it before, I'll say it again. Every time somebody who's halfway brain damaged calls up, you hang up on them.
No, look, you're living proof that that's not true. You opened yourself up for that. Now, come on, get to the point. What's on your mind?
Stock market. Now, how does it affect anybody? You want to know how it affects maybe any average Joe Blow?
Yeah.
Do you really? That's what happens in the stock market?
Boy, this is the worst phone call I've ever gotten. Yeah, tell me, please.
All right, well, let's just take one little baby scenario. People I work with have their retirement funds, that's where they get their money for their retirement. It comes from the stock market. If the stock market plunges enough, they can lose so much money in their retirement fund, for one thing, because that's where a lot of people's retirement money is tied up. If the stock market isn't making any money, people lose their retirement funds.
What about, you know, Social Security and the bonds and that kind of thing?
Well, the bond market, when people start going into the bond market to seek security, then interest rates start falling. And you can see inflation, because inflation will go up, because then money will be available for loans, you see.
Well, I don't, actually, but then again, I've never had a head for this kind of thing.
Well,
what's it going to mean? You know, okay, some people who are retired won't be able to get as much of their funds.
Well, yeah, well, let's take another example. A lot of people feel that, I'm not an expert on this, there may be some good people out there listening tonight who might correct me if I'm wrong, but I know that some of the stocks are overvalued. That would be like Eric Corley has a little automobile company, and he manufactures automobiles, and people are buying his stock, but right now, his stock is overpriced, inflated. People are paying more money than your company's worth, but nobody really knows that. Nobody's saying anything. And your stock is going up, and now people want to get out, but you don't have the money to back up your stock. your stocks are overpriced. Your company's not even worth it.
I'm hearing noises on this phone call that I've never heard on a phone call before. This is by far the worst phone call I think I've ever gotten on this show. I just wanted to point that out right now. And it's no offense to you, sir, but this is the horrible sound quality. I'm hearing screeches, I'm hearing static, I'm hearing all kinds of harmonics and echoes and things like that.
Wow,
it's
terrible.
This is an historical moment for me.
You know what? I'm usually upstairs on the intercom. Maybe I should go upstairs on the intercom phone.
Well, I think you should go to a payphone or anything, you know. It's just, I've had any country in the world I've talked to, it sounded much clearer than this, you know. Pick a country, okay? Pick any country in the world that you think would not sound clear. Go ahead.
I was in Cuba, you know.
Did you say Cuba?
And I remember that the reception wasn't that good via satellite.
Cuba.
That great.
Right, okay. Well, we'll talk to you later, sir.
Yeah, okay, Eric.
Yeah. Okay. You'll see, folks. You'll see. Jim Wiener, come in here. You're in big trouble. You're in big trouble, Jim.
Your telephone can help you?
Yes, hi. I need AT&T, please.
Sure.
No offense to you, sir. I know you could help me if you could, but...
One moment for an operator
right.
Who can assist you. Thank you.
I mean, I would use New York telephone, but they're all on strike anyway, so who cares?
AT&T, funny, Janet, may I have you?
It's not funny. Yes, hi. I need overseas information, please, for Cuba.
Just a moment, sir.
Thank you. It's 20 minutes to 11 o'clock. Our phone number is 632-6901. Uh-oh.
All circuits are busy now.
Oh, yeah.
Please try your call later. 212-5-3.
Well, I'm sorry, sir. I cannot reach the operator that makes the Cuban calls. Could you try in a few minutes?
You're saying the Cuban connection is closed, then, eh?
No, I'm saying I can't reach the operator. I'm
all
just trying
circuits
a few
are
minutes.
Busy now.
Oh, okay. Which operator is that? That's the international operator?
Yes.
So does that mean international operator for all countries is busy?
No, just for Cuba.
Just for Cuba. Okay, I'll try again later then.
Thank you.
Thank you. I suspect she wasn't telling the truth, but we'll try to deal with that a little bit later. 632-6901. Jim Wiener, how are you?
Hello.
How the hell are you? I mean, I haven't seen you in a long time.
How are you?
Oh, there you go. That mic's working.
Good to see you.
Yeah,
can I just move this here?
Yeah. In fact, it's been a long time. It's been a real long time since we've done a show together.
It has.
And, well, what have you been up to? I mean, it's been, you know, I think before the summer, really.
Yes.
Of course, I went away to Europe for 6 weeks, so that didn't help, did it?
I thought about the word Europe for 6 weeks.
Uh-huh.
Continually.
You thought about it. It's, I could feel your thoughts over there.
Yes,
It's a neat place, you know?
First time
place.
You've been there?
Yeah, first
I've
time.
I've never been to Europe, actually.
Never, you've never
no.
been to Europe?
No.
Why not?
No specific reason, just never
you've been overseas?
Well,
it's either yes or no, Jim. I mean, there's no
technically
middle
yes.
Wait, how could you be technically?
I mean, I don't think I was overseas necessarily.
What, you fly around the world and not get off? Were you in a space shuttle or something? What?
No. I would say that I wasn't overseas in the sense that people would probably normally think of going overseas. I was. I've been to Bermuda.
That's not overseas.
Well, you have
I mean,
to
it's
go,
over some
you
seas.
You have to go over...
But so's Connecticut, you know?
Well, yeah, you have to go over the Atlantic Ocean to get
well,
there.
Well, wait, Bermuda is sort of in between.
Bermuda is about 600, 700 miles east of the Carolinas.
No, I don't think that's
it's
overseas.
Not in the Caribbean.
I don't think that's overseas. Well, it's damn close to being in the Caribbean.
It's
though.
Considered... It's not extremely far, but it is... It's considered... And it's understandably considered by many people as part of the Caribbean, but technically is not. It's
well, now... Are islands considered to be part of a continent?
Yes, they are.
Okay, so, wait a minute. There's one way to find out. What's the... Does Bermuda have a European country code or a United States area code?
Well, it's a... Yes, I would say it's a United States area code.
Probably 809, right?
I believe so.
Yeah. 809 covers a bunch of
a whole bunch
those
of areas.
Areas
in the Caribbean. I know
yeah.
that Bermuda is part of that area code.
Mm-hmm.
But it's,
I mean, there's nothing wrong with going to Bermuda, I suppose.
Oh, no,
I'm not belittling that, but,
I realize.
But, I mean, it's a whole world beyond that. So.
Oh, sure, that's what I was saying. I wouldn't say that I exactly went, I mean, I suppose I did go overseas, but not in the sense that people would normally think of going overseas.
Uh-huh. Well, you should go. It's fantastic. It's amazing.
Which countries were you in?
I was in England, Holland, Belgium, West Germany, East Germany, Luxembourg, and France.
Yep. It's quite a wonderful variety.
Yeah, it's pretty tiring, too. I was in East Berlin, where all the fun is going on now.
At the time,
and I knew the fun was coming.
Well, I guess not at the time that all the fun was going
well,
on.
Well, it was certainly it was
leading up to it.
It was a prelude to it because we knew about all the East Germans that were, going over to Austria through Hungary, and I knew something was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I still know something is going to happen. So it's pretty wild. I don't know if the East Germans are going to come up with these spaceship stories to try to save their economy or whatever that plot with the Soviets is. What do you make of all that?
Well, you know, it would be intriguing to believe.
Try to talk into the microphone. Oh. Just put a microphone over there, and you lean
point.
In the other direction.
Good point. Here, I'll.
There we go. There you go.
It would be intriguing to believe that there really was an extraterrestrial visit.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, I mean, not having seen anything myself, how can I know for sure? So I'm suspended in a state of not exactly believing it, not exactly disbelieving it.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about it? I take it you don't think it's genuine.
Well, I'm not sure about this one. There's a lot of, weird things about it. But the weirdest thing of all is the source, past news agency saying there's UFOs. It does seem kind of strange. But keep in mind that the Soviets seem to have this... this preoccupation with supernatural things that we weren't aware of before. But I don't know if you heard about the psychic that tried to stop a train a few weeks ago. That was pretty interesting. It didn't work.
Yeah, that's
the train
amazing.
Stopped him pretty thoroughly. But that just shows you, some people are really involved in this kind of thing, and they want to believe that. Again, it's hard to judge. It's hard to say this is necessarily true for this instance. But, I'd like to believe it. I'd like to see concrete evidence. I'd like to see something myself. But, the odds are that sooner or later something like that is going to happen in an infinite universe. But, I don't know. I want more information. I want to know more about this.
Yes, the one story I'd heard was that a rendering of the occurrence, or part of the occurrence, was offered in a drawing,
mm-hmm.
not in a photograph.
Yeah, now why was there a photograph?
Now,
I mean, town that big, there should have been a photograph. And they also say there's no adult witnesses. Come on, how could there be no adult witnesses if this really happened,
Well, I suppose it's theoretically, I suppose it's possible that somebody might not have been able to get a camera in time, that there happened to just be children around.
They took a stroll around the park with a robot twice.
Yeah, that had a very almost quaint ring to it.
Hmm.
It's kind of cute, the idea that it wasn't described as a reconnaissance around the park. It was a stroll.
Mm-hmm.
There was a sound of leisure to it, taking a stroll around the park. And the cute thing with a robot along the way,
mm-hmm.
and going along with them, and I imagine them walking very leisurely.
Care in the world. Or
yeah,
any other.
Yeah,
world.
And it is intriguing. Now, wasn't there a tremendous meteor that supposedly fell in Russia around the beginning of this century? And maybe I'm confusing that. I don't want to give misinformation, but it seems to me that some people have theorized that this was an extraterrestrial phenomenon. Extraterrestrial in the sense it was a meteor, but there was some theory that it was a spaceship or something, or am I confusing that with something
else? Did this happen right before the revolution? Okay, folks, you heard it here.
So. I don't
Jim Wiener
so.
Is implying that the whole
no,
communist movement
no.
it comes from outer space.
No.
And you heard it here first. Jim, you could get a lot of money for this.
No, actually, they heard it here second because I've been on every other radio station simultaneously telling... No, that's not true.
Well, it sounds like something worthy of sending to the Inquirer. They deserve a story like that.
Well...
But, I'd like to see something come out of this. That's one of the things we've been talking about tonight. Also talking about burning the flag, but I think we've talked about that enough.
I guess so. Well, yeah. It's up to you.
Yeah. Anything else on your mind?
You know, not at the moment. Yeah. Nothing enters my mind. Nothing.
There you go. Okay, oh, okay, we got it. Folks, if you didn't send your money for the Radiothon, please do it now. We're in desperate shape here. Some people have been asking about the new transmitter, and I found out that the new transmitter is going to be going on in December.
Wonderful.
We actually were able to make the first part of a payment towards one, thanks to the folks that supported the Radiothon. But it's only the first step forward. In fact, I like to hear from people. You know, if you think you're very far away from us right now, give us a call and just tell us where you are and how we're coming in, because we do want to compare before and after. You know, so if you're like on eastern Long Island somewhere, in western Suffolk or eastern Nassau or in Connecticut even, give us a call, 632-6901. You don't have to say it, just, you know, say where you are and hang up. That's okay. But we do want to know. You know, we do want to keep track of these things so that we can compare it later on. Jim, it's... Yeah, glad to see you again.
Yes, very good to see you.
Can I just reach over and shake your hand?
Yes, certainly.
It's we should do this more often.
Definitely.
Let's get some calls here.
I was going to say some of the other people who do programs here might be a little resentful, but...
Why?
If we start doing a program while their program is on.
Oh, that's true, yeah. Well, we'll do it during the constraints of this time, yeah. Do you have a pair of headphones? No, you don't. You're going to go into the other room.
I guess I'll do that. Actually, I have to finish my dinner.
Ah, well, why?
I'll go in for a while.
Okay. You can go into that room, which...
And wear headphones.
And wear headphones there.
Okay, I'll give that a try.
We can bring food into that room.
Okay, that's a good point.
Yeah, you can also smoke in there if you want.
No, I don't think I will.
Okay, then just go in that room and you'll be able to hear the phone calls. Phone callers, you'll have to listen to the radio to hear Jim, because you won't be able to hear him over the phone. Our number is 632-6901. We'll go back to the phones. As soon as we get a couple more calls, we do have, you know, a couple on the line now, but there's got to be more people out there. Let us know what's on your mind. Let us know Long Island is still out there, hasn't been swallowed up yet. It's 10:51, 9 minutes to 11 o'clock. This is Brain Damage, and we're here until midnight or until we get dragged away, until other horrible things happen. Look at this. We have all these new notepads now. Wow. So every so often, you know, we're out of supplies for a long, long period of time, and then suddenly you get six of them, you know, six of them from the Ministry of Plenty. They just kind of show up, and we're kind of in awe of them. Notepads. I feel like writing a note. Wow. Anyway, 632-6901. Let's light up those phones. Good evening.
Yes. I was wondering if you heard about the shuttle banning, where they didn't want them to launch it because of the plutonium.
Right. We talked about that last week, in fact, and it was... Well, it was postponed, but not because of that. It was postponed because of, you know, the usual computer problems. It was a concern for a lot of people, you know, and we talked with somebody last week about just what those concerns were, what the risks were. But what do you think about it?
I think they should let it go. It's like the one kid said, you did hear the broadcasting, so like the one kid said, it's probably encased protectively enough that it's not going to do any, you know, real damage. It'll probably just fall in a big clump of protective shielding.
Uh-huh. Well, it would be nice to think that, but what if it doesn't, you know?
Well, a lot of people are going to be losing hair.
Yeah, that's one way of looking at it. But I think the launch is scheduled for, what, Monday now?
I don't know, but there was a banning because of the plutonium just this week.
There was a what?
Just this week, because of the plutonium it's carrying.
I don't understand. What happened this week?
They didn't want them to launch the shuttle.
Right.
And it was like Wednesday I heard about it.
Yeah, and they went to court, but they lost in court.
They did?
Yeah, they lost.
Oh, okay.
So the thing is going to go up one way or the other. It'll just be interesting to see what happens. And like I said last week, you know, even if this one proceeds smoothly, it's going to open the way to a lot more. So if there is any risk, we're going to find out sooner or later, you know, who was right and who was wrong.
Yeah.
You know? Let me ask you something. What do you think of what do you call it? The
flag burning?
No, not the flag burning. I can't think of the word. The curfew, right?
Curfew?
Yeah. Are you under 17?
Yes, I am.
Well, now, if Suffolk County passes a law saying that you cannot be out after 8 p.m. on Halloween, what are you going to do?
I'm going to say they're going to have to catch me.
That's a spirit. Do you think anybody's going to obey something like that?
No way.
Yeah. Well, now, let's assume that somebody from the Suffolk County government is listening right now. You're a 17-year-old. What would you have to say to them? And keep it clean.
Well, it's too bad. You just got to catch me. That's the thing.
Well, perhaps it'd be a little bit less confrontational about it. Like, you know, maybe explain to them why it's a bad idea, you know?
Why it's a bad idea?
Yeah.
Because no one's going to listen to it anyway.
Well, yeah, that's one idea, but I was hoping you'd say something more about, you know, not being in the democratic spirit of the nation and all that kind of nonsense, you know?
That's true.
Yeah.
The people over 17 are the people who are doing this.
That's a very good point. That is a very good point. Yeah, the people over 17 certainly are.
Yes.
And are we going to tell them we can't? I mean, what if I have to go to 7-Eleven or something, you know? It's craziness, and I don't know how it ever got to this point. It's a big waste of time. Just like this whole flag-burning thing, I think, is a big waste of time. I mean, if we have to have all this legislation to protect, you know, the flag's own citizens, you know, to protect the flag against its own from its own citizens, it's kind of insane, you know?
Yeah, but they got to do it. That's the problem.
Why do they have to do it? Why can't we just depend on people to be good citizens? Why do we have to make it law to be good citizens?
Because it starts with the flag, then it starts with then it goes to bigger things, yeah, like the president.
Well, I think we have bigger problems right now without worrying about the flag so much.
See, that's not it.
I think you have one of those problems in your room right now.
My friend. The thing is if you let them burn it, you're kind of saying, yeah, we'll go ahead, kind of just, you know, it's like, I can't explain it, it's like just like saying, you know, well, we don't care just as long as you don't do it too much or something like that.
Right, but wouldn't you say, like, physical violence is worse than burning a symbol? You know, and there's certainly a lot of physical violence. I think we should be dealing with that.
Burning a symbol
provides. Well, see, that's the thing. You can't...
People shouldn't want to burn the flag. If they want to burn the flag and you have to outlaw it, you have to ask yourself, why do they want to burn the flag in the first place, you know?
Because they don't like the country.
Okay, well, then you got a problem, right? And that should be addressed, not what they're doing, you know, but why they're doing it. That should be addressed. I think we're running away from the issues, which we're pretty good at.
I don't think they should be allowed to burn it.
Well, you know, it's not like they're encouraging people to burn the flag, but it's just, I think they're realizing that it's a form of expression. It's a distasteful form of expression. Like, you can't ban the Klan from existing. You know, a lot of people would want to because certainly they're, you know, a bunch of murderers and racists and things like that. But it goes against the Constitution to ban their existence, you know. And that's why the ACLU goes around standing up for American Nazi parties, because they realize this.
That's the thing. It's not illegal to do all that. You know, they murder people and everything like that.
Uh-huh.
But then again, it's not illegal to have accidents either. So somebody can just have an accident and drive through a whole crowd of them, you know. That's...
Yeah, but I get the distinct impression it wouldn't be an accident in your case.
Oops, there goes the steering.
Oh, I thank you, sir. You lit up the phones with that last suggestion.
Okay. Okay, well, goodbye.
Okay. I'm sure we'll be hearing from him again in the papers, probably. 632-6901. Good evening. Hello? Oh, what a shame. You have a bad mouthpiece, sir or ma'am. While you're talking and chatting away there, I can't hear a word you're saying.
It's the know-all.
No, can't hear a thing. 632-6901. Good evening.
Hi, Brain Damage, Eric?
Yeah, this is me.
Oh, I have a lot of things to say tonight. Okay, first on flag burning. Okay, I forgot who said it, but this is a quote, don't know who it's by. The fact that the Supreme Court made it law that we can burn the flag is the best reason for us not to burn it. I mean, we are one of the few countries in the entire world where we have such freedom of speech. And because we are allowed to burn the flag, it should just bring up respect for our country. And I'm for freedom of speech and burning the flag. And I think if that's the way you feel, then you should be able to do it.
Well, I must say, I am now standing up because that's how I feel about your views.
Okay.
And
then, all right. Now,
I should not sit and listen
to
those views because
I will be turning 17 years old on Halloween.
Uh-huh.
And to me, It's saying that people under 17 years old cannot handle themselves after 8 o'clock. Now, discriminating against age is in some ways the same thing as discriminating against sex and discriminating against color. Now, in...
Right, and the only reason that it's not made an issue is because you folks under 17 don't make it an issue. You know, you've got to lobby people. But, of course, you can't vote, so no one's going to listen to you. But that's all the more reason for you to be more vocal. See, 17-year-olds, yeah, you can't handle yourself. You can't drive cars. You can't drink liquor. You can't have sex. You can't do any of that stuff because you're just not mature enough. And of course, some people are mature enough. I know some people who are 40 that aren't mature enough to
exactly.
do those things.
So,
but,
I don't know. I think it is a terrible, it's an awful idea to say that I don't think it's an issue for Suffolk County to handle. I think if it's going to be handled and you don't think that 17-year-olds should be allowed out after 8 p.m., then that's something that should be dealt with at home. It's not democratic to have a curfew. There's no reason for us to be in the house after 8 o'clock. And it's, I'm sorry, for people under 17, it's a holiday.
I'm sure your parents would vehemently support that view that there's no reason for you to be in the house after 8 o'clock.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, another thing that you didn't mention tonight, and I'd like to mention on the air,
okay.
is the fact about countries going into Antarctica now. And there was an excellent editorial earlier this week, it might have been Sunday, by Jacques Cousteau, saying how much of a waste it is to bring countries into Antarctica because it is one of the continents that is so unharmed. And if we bring people in there to go mining, even if there's restrictions, because we have restrictions in the U.S. against pollution, and in a lot of cases it does nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that are getting mined for are things that we can buy in developing countries that really need our money, like Chile and Zaire and Zimbabwe. And there's no reason for us to go after Antarctica, which is like one of the few places we have left where we can help out other countries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
that's what I have to say.
It's I heard something this last week about making Antarctica into some kind of a park or a preserve or something like that. I don't know what you're referring to. They think you're bringing countries in to do mining or something?
Okay, yeah, it's related to the same thing, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. All right, there was a meeting it was overseas, it might have been in Switzerland, I'm not sure. It was of 12 countries, and if they voted unanimously, then Antarctica would be left untouched. But if they can't vote unanimously, then if it's a two-thirds vote, which will make it a preserve, which will allow mining to occur.
Wow, that's weird.
I think there's four countries, and the U.S. is one of the countries that is not voting against mining in Antarctica. We're one of the countries that wants to get in there. So
then I didn't read it thoroughly enough because that would be horrible. I mean, especially one thing you said though that I have to take issue with: Antarctica is the last unspoiled place. Not true. It's spoiled. The ozone layer, the oil spill last spring, a lot of things.
Well, I didn't mean on. Yes, it's been spoiled, but there's no reason for us to ruin it more.
No, of course not.
Especially, that says it.
The same thing for other parts of the world, too. Alaska, even, you know, the regular Atlantic Ocean, all those kind of places. There's, you know, we've got to stop. We've really got to stop and you know, look at our values again.
Okay, while I'm here, we're talking about environmentalism. There's an Earth Day coming up. For Long Island, it's on November 4th. It's at a Presbyterian church in Deer Park. I don't know what the church is. I don't have the flyer with me. But there's a newspaper called Earth First. And if you can get their phone number, then you can definitely ask them there. It's just a whole thing on environmentalism on Long Island and what we can do about it now. And it's just a lot of speakers and a lot of programs and a lot of what you can do. Like, a lot of people feel that it's wrong, but a lot of people just don't know what to do about it. So anyone who's interested should really go. It's going to be a great day.
Uh-huh. Well, now, if we don't get the information tonight, I'd like you to call back next week with the information.
Definitely. I probably have it up. I'm not at home right now. So if I get home before midnight, then I will definitely call back. But if not, I will definitely call back next week. And
okay.
It's November 4th. From 9:30 to 6:00.
Okay, if anybody else has that information, give us a call, 632-6901, and we'll be happy to pass that along. Thanks for calling and for thinking.
No problem.
Okay.
Have a nice night now.
You too. Okay, maybe I will. Pete, say hello.
Hi.
Pete Kang is here. Can you believe that, folks? Now, Jim Wiener is in the other room, but I don't think anybody can hear him. Say something, Jim. His mouth is moving, but nothing's coming out. You see, my point is that mic does not work, I don't think. I don't think any of it works. You have to plug into position three, unless you're on the mixer. Are you on the mixer? Oh, see, he has no way of answering. Wait, I can, okay, I can intercom you. Hold on. How do we do that? Okay, hit that button. And hit it. Jim, can you hear me?
Yes.
Ah, okay, you're on the phone now.
Right.
I think you have, are you plugged into a mixer or are you plugged into a microphone, Jack?
Oh, I guess nothing is plugged in here.
Well, I could explain why you're not coming over then, eh?
Explains a lot of things.
If you plug your mic into mic position three, I'm sure we'll all be able to hear you. Okay, well, Jim is working on that. Let me just say, this is WUSB in Stony Brook, New York. Our number is 632-6901. And folks, I don't understand this. What's going on out there? I mean, is everybody cringing in fear of the stock market crashing? Is everyone looking for aliens? What? Are you observing a radio curfew as well? Come on, it's... Uh-oh. Yes.
Quiet.
You can't do that to me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He interrupted my show to intercom me. What?
Not only that, but now Peter is turning the lights on and off in here.
Well, people don't see that on the air.
This is fairly psychedelic.
It certainly is, like a disco, but what is it you
want? Actually.
What do you want?
Oh, it's fun. I just have to say, I'm going to plug it into board position number two, if that's okay, to make it consistent with the fact that it's mic number two.
Well, you can't do that. You know why? Because the phone in here comes up on position two.
Oh.
I have to choose between you and the phone
calls. I'll plug it into mixer two.
Why don't you put it into position three?
Okay, sure.
Yeah. God. So it's causing trouble. Anyway, as I was saying, folks, we have three open lines, and I can't understand why there are three open lines on a busy night like this. I mean, you know, the show's not liable to last much longer if we don't... You see, every time a line rings, it generates a little pulse, okay? And this show's success is measured, not by Arbitron ratings like most other radio stations, but by number of times the phone flashes. Now, we have five lines here, and each line flashes once per second, okay? So if we have five lines ringing consistently for 2 hours, well, you figure that out. One pulse per second times five times 2 hours... It's a lot of pulses, and it will ensure that this radio program is here for some time to come. But we need your pulses, so give us a call, 632-6901. And remember, like other radio call-in shows, unlike other radio call-in shows, we don't pick up until you're on the air, so you don't have to pay for anything until we pick up the phone. And even then, it's minimal. Okay, we just have one line left. Shirley, Debbie, anyone. There must be somebody out there that has not called yet that wants to call. And I'd like to especially stress those folks that haven't called before, because we want to hear from new people. We want to make sure that there's always new people out there being created, even as we speak. 632-6901, area code 516, should you need to use an area code for some reason. Come on, that one line. Let's light that one line up. It's
Eric?
Yeah. Oh, Jim is on the board.
Hi. You know, this is extraordinary, what's going on in here. Pete Kang is turning the lights on and off constantly.
Well, it keeps him busy.
It does, and it's interesting. It's having an effect. It's making the skin in my arms crawl. And I'm not complaining when I'm saying that. I'm just saying that it's having a remarkable effect on me.
It doesn't look pleasant at all from here.
Oh, it doesn't really bother me.
Jim, we've got four out of five lines, but we can't seem to get that fifth one. But you want to try? I mean, not try lighting it. Try getting people to call up and you know.
Yeah. Let's see. Let me see. Why don't we say...
Oh, great, Jim. We just lost another one. Now we have to light two. 632-6901. Come on, we'll go to the phones as soon as they're all lit.
How about some phone lighting music?
Yeah, how do we get a piano? Now we lost another one.
Oh, wow.
Now we have to light three lines.
Yeah, actually, as you can hear, I don't play the piano, but I'm really intrigued. We have a piano in our studio.
I don't know how it got in there.
It's
glad it's back, but I don't know how it got in there.
Pete, do you play?
Yeah.
Oh, terrific. You can have a band here, Eric, and a live band on your show.
We had four lit for a second. Now we just have three. So now we have four again. One more call, and then we can go back to the phone.
Okay, how about this?
Someone is playing with our heads.
Cruel trick. Listen, if we can get three more people to call now at 632-6901, perhaps Pete Kang will be able to entertain some requests. How does that sound?
Yeah, entertain some requests.
Yeah. Back up to four.
One more. You guys stick
maybe,
on,
maybe
stick
maybe
on
we
the
can
line.
Give a request to Pete Kang. Back to two calls.
This is ridiculous.
This is bizarre.
This is crazy.
It's extraordinary.
Now, Listen, people, by playing these games, you're not getting on the radio, you see?
That's right.
And radio time is expensive, so you're getting a discount by being put on the radio for nothing. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, actually, that I would say that's true.
You know most radio talk shows charge people?
No, well, now,
that's
wait.
That's true. They send you a bill after you've been on. They figure out who you are, and they send you a bill. We don't do that.
No, they don't send people a bill, do they?
Have you ever been on a radio talk show, Jim?
No.
Then don't speak without knowing the facts, okay? Now, look, folks, we got to light three lines. I'm pretty serious here. I want to get back to the phones because I think, frankly, that's the most interesting part of the show is when we talk to people. Okay, fine, be that way. We're going to do something else.
One line.
We're going to do something else. We're going to...
How about adding some music to the show? Live music.
I'm going
to
demonstrate what's known as a voicemail system because I've been wanting to do this for a while. Do you know, Jim, that there are certain strips of phone numbers where all the numbers in the whole exchange are answering machines? Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Well, what you do is you buy a voice mailbox. You go to a place and you say, I want a voice mailbox, and they give you a phone number. And attached to that phone number is, well, it's not really like a machine is attached to the phone number. It's part of a computer system, okay? And every one of those numbers rings and attaches itself to the computer system and plays your little greeting. And it sounds like an answering machine. It's really not. You know, there's no phone there. There's no way you could ever pick up the phone. There's no way you can, you know, hear the person speaking while they're speaking. You call in and you get the messages, okay? And I just realized it's so much fun to just sort of wander around that system because you can transfer yourself and hear all the many different answering machines, all the different messages. So we're going to just wander through a few of them, okay?
Sure.
I'm going to call one that belongs to a friend of mine, and then from there we're going to transfer ourselves. Here we go.
You're tuned to 90.1 WUSB, Stony Brook. Please leave a message. Is that good, Eric? Bye.
Okay.
Hello.
Donald Duck.
Please enter your passcode.
Yes,
Welcome to the message center.
What we did was we heard the person's name, then we're going to transfer it to another mailbox and see what their greeting is and see what their name is.
Hello, this is 873-9027. Your call can't be answered right now, but if you'll leave your name and number, this nice machine will take down the date and time of your call, and your call will be returned as soon as possible. Thank you.
Now you may start your message. Hello.
Bernstein residence.
Please enter your passcode.
Okay, let's keep going.
Welcome to the message center.
Let's go to another one.
Hi, you've reached 212-969-0571, the offices of the Perfect Production Company. No one can take your call right now, but please do leave a message at the end of this recording. Messages can also be left for Stephen DeLauro or Sarah Jackson. Monster Time begins previews at Theater for the New City on October 19th. Opening night is November 2nd. Christophorus Columbus Voyages to the Planet Ark will play in the Cabaret on Halloween at Theater for the New City. For information about tickets, please call 254-1109. Thank you. Ciao for now.
You may start your message.
Okay, here we go.
Hello.
Steve DeLauro.
Please enter your passcode. Welcome to the message center.
Next mailbox.
Get
that jump on this one. Here's Easter
Rabbit. Here's an Easter and hold on to it real tight. I'll
get
that wascally wabbit if it's the last thing I do.
You may start your message.
Hello?
Hey, Kudiman. Please enter your passcode.
Right.
Welcome to the message
center.
And
you see, you can just keep doing this all day long.
Hi, you've reached the offices of Equisource, Inc. and Adele Michael. Please leave a message after the beep, and we will return your call as soon as possible.
Hello?
Adele.
Please enter your passcode.
And basically, you enter your passcode, which is four digits. And of course, it's wrong. They'll say they didn't get it, and they'll eventually hang up on you.
I'm sorry. I did not get your passcode. Please...
And if you were to enter a valid passcode, you'd be able to listen to all the messages and things like that. But my point in doing this is just to show that there's so many different little things out there, and every single one of them has a different person attached to it. What do you think, Jim? Jim?
What do you think, Jim? What do I think, Jim? I think, whoa!
Some people react better than others.
Actually, I can't hear what you're saying
some
now, Eric.
Some people react better than others.
Some do, yes. But
how come Pete can hear me and you
actually,
can't?
How come Pete can hear me and you can't?
Actually, I can't see either
because
one of
I'm
you.
I'm not wearing
now.
A headset.
Either one
see.
Of you right now.
Pete, can't, you can't see either one
no,
of us now?
Can't.
You can't see either one of us now.
Well,
why, oh, I see what you mean. You see, I'm not wearing a headset.
Fade off into the distance here while I go back to the phones. Good evening. How are you? Ah, this person's surprised to be on the air. They're obviously not ready. Are you there? Hello, is anyone there? Hello? Ah!
Fight the power! Fight the power! Fight the power! Fight the power! We got
Public Enemy, huh? Okay, well, that's a lot of fun. Fight the power. How do we interpret that? Well, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
632-6901. Good evening. Hello? Oh, dear. Good evening. Is anyone there? Good evening.
This is Elvis, and I'd like to sing you a song.
Okay, go ahead, Elvis.
One for the money, two for the dough. Three to get rid of the Eric Corley show.
Oh, boy. That's really something. I hadn't heard that one before. 632-6901. Jim is gone. I'm looking in the room now. The room is lit, and he's not there anymore. 632-6901. Let's get those phones lit up. They were all lit up a second ago. And we could call some more voice mailboxes and hear some interesting recordings. We could leave them all a message and tell them to call into the show or something crazy like that. But I don't think that's a good idea. Where did Jim go? Where, Pete, can you still hear me? There. Can you hear me, Pete?
Sorry about that.
Sorry about what?
About making you mad.
Did you make me mad? Oh, don't worry about it.
Hey, did you read the Village Voice?
What, this week?
What?
This week?
Yeah.
No, I didn't. What was in it?
That article about NWA.
What did they say about them?
Oh, the FBI took its first official stance on any art form.
Pete, we talked about this on this show 3 weeks ago.
Oh.
About how they were warning people not to play it, and it's, yeah, it's a very scary thing.
Well, I wasn't here.
We're miles ahead of the Village Voice, and the FBI for that matter.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. So how you been? What have you been up to? You're living in the city now, right?
I'm working.
Yeah. Well, you're not working now, obviously.
Not this moment, no. It's the weekend, so
uh-huh.
I'm celebrating.
So you're celebrating by being here, huh?
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Well, no, it's good to see you again. Even if it is through a thick glass window.
Good to see you, too.
Why don't you get some people to call up, huh? You're always good at that.
Okay, why don't you call us at the station, 632-6901, and say something intelligent.
Yeah, say something intelligent. We could use a bit of that. Where's Jim?
I don't know. He...
Did you chase him away from there?
No. He said he was going to relay a message to you.
Well, he hasn't arrived yet, and it's only a few
feet
away.
Well, maybe he's doing it from a room where that could be possible.
We'll see. Oh, that wasn't it. Good evening.
Elvis Liz, you trial fate.
Good evening.
Oh, good evening.
Good evening.
I wanted to talk about flag burning.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I think the idea of not promoting flag burning or promoting flag burning and having clubs of flag burners so that they can, you know, relate with each other and so that everybody can see that that's where they are. There they are, the flag burners, and, you know, so that they can kind of keep to themselves.
Uh-huh. That's an interesting idea. You mean people that feel the need to burn flags should publicly say that so that everybody is aware of it and there's no doubt.
Absolutely, and that we know who they are and they know who we are, and, you know, they can still get along in society.
I saw a letter in the paper from I think it was to Dear Abby or something, from this terrified person that said, it was her understanding that when the flag touched the ground that wasn't worthy of being flown anymore, it had to be burned, but she was afraid to burn it now because somebody would kill her or something. And that's what this leads to, you know. People are scared, you know, to even think about burning the flag.
Well, there's superstition and then there's fear of superstition.
Uh-huh.
I think that maybe a flag burner should get up and kind of like explain the way he feels about the flag when he burns it.
Yeah, see if he's actually allowed to finish it. I don't think flag burners are ever... There's always some outraged person that stops him from doing it, which, doesn't really seem all that fair, even though you may not agree with what they're doing. If it's their flag and their fire, you know, it's their business as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I have to point out that it is a fire. nevertheless, and, you know, fires can start almost anywhere. So if we don't keep them controlled in, you know,
now
in
that would be
area.
That's an interesting point to look at. You know, more concerned about the fire aspect than the flag aspect, yeah.
Yeah. You know, why do we have fire departments?
Well,
I mean,
people go running
around burning flags. They can burn them anywhere and, you know, start a fire and...
Right, if they were smart, they would simply say, well, you know, to burn a flag, you have to have, you know, a flag-burning permit. And, of course, you make those very hard to get because, you know, burning anything in public is dangerous.
Or they could burn in their house, and then they burn down their house.
This is what you do. I've suggested making flags inflammable, you know, as one way around this. But another suggestion is to make flags explode whenever matches go near them. That way, it becomes a public hazard to light a flag on fire, and you make it illegal on that ground. You attach all these, like, M-80s to any flag, okay, and if they burn, they explode. There you go. That's the solution, folks. Now, you know, I think the House representatives and the Senate are wasting their time. Hello?
Yeah, I'm still there.
I'm sorry, I just heard somebody groaning in the other room. I think the reason the House and the Senate are doing this is out of panic, because who would vote against something like that? You know, their opponents will fry them, you know, if it's known that they voted against something that would ban flag burning, you know.
Well, like I said before, it's good to see that at least we know how many flag burners there are in this country. And in that way, you know, just as long as that's all they're doing is just burning their own flags, that it's, you know, it's all right. But I don't know, I'm kind of...
I mean, sort of join a union or something.
Yeah.
Like we could even pay them a small stipend or something.
That's it.
Or make it part of the Selective Service Registration, just check off a box if you plan on burning a flag, then they'll have it on file.
It could be as simple as that.
Yeah.
I gotta go.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
All right.
632-6901, I guess the government came to get him. Good evening. A modem. Well, let's see. It's a fax machine, actually. Well, anybody can make a fax machine noise. You know, I could make that noise, too, if I wanted to. But I'm not going to. Fax machine's calling us now. Can you believe this? Can we get any people to call? Only fax machines. Let's see. I think the person who was groaning in the other room is gone now. 632-6901. And look at this. I never thought I'd see the day. At 11:30 at night, usually our busiest time, and all the phones are dead. All the phones are dead. What's going on here? Is there like some kind of organized event I don't know about? Is there a USB boycott in progress? Jim, are you there? See, it's this crazy system. You can't hear anybody unless you're wearing headphones.
What's that?
I was asking if you were there, and obviously you are there because I can see you. But I was wondering what's going on here because the phones are all dead, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. It is kind of funny that all of a sudden, well, here comes one, but all of a sudden to have the phones...
I mean, the only difference between this week and last week is the fact that you are here. Now, do you think that has something to do with it?
I think it has a lot to do with it. I think that's why a lot of people have run away. That's why I appreciated your inviting me on. Maybe it's better if I...
Yeah.
But what if I announce I'm not going to be on now? That from now, I'll leave the show right now. We'll see what happens.
Might get a letter from the phone company on Monday asking us not to do things like that and have all these large number of calls coming in at the same time. 632-6901, area code 516. Again, let us know where you're calling from. I'd like to get an idea of where people are. And if you've never called before, you know, call up and say something, offer your opinions, your advice, your comments of any kind. 632-6901. Don't make us call you. I mean, that's awfully embarrassing because, you know, we know who you are. And, you know, sooner or later you're going to end up talking to us, so let's have it be under pleasant circumstances. Right, Jim? Jim, you have a tendency of drifting off.
Well, no, I was afraid that if I started to speak again, we'd lose calls again.
Well, we have three now. I'm going to go back to the phones. But please give us a call, 632-6901, as this is a call-in show. You know, maybe I didn't make that clear, but if it's a call-in show, we can't do it unless we have people calling. It's just, you know, one of those little things. I never understood it myself. Good evening.
Yeah, I just had a simple question. I want to know, how come, like, you wait for so long? You know, it's like all five phones are lit before you actually... You know.
Well, okay, because if you notice, the last few calls we got, one was from a fax machine, one was from somebody that said he was Elvis, another was someone who hung up as soon as he heard my voice. You see, so if I stop whatever I'm saying and pick up one line, then I have to sort of restart my engines again, you know? If we have a bunch, then, you know, I can just go from one to the other. It's just, you know, it makes for better radio.
Right, but it kind of makes it annoying to have to wait, you know, for the time.
Well, it does, but again, if there are, like, right now there's only one other caller, and he's only been on for about 30 seconds. You know, so we try not to make people wait too long. You know, and again, you're not charged until we pick up, so...
Right, but that's, I mean, I've been listening to your show for a while, but I just didn't want to bother and have to wait, you know, and hang out by the phone until you said hello.
Well, isn't this a pleasant surprise? You got right through.
Yeah, I was actually was surprised.
Yeah, where are you calling from?
Smithtown.
Smithtown, huh? Any thoughts or feelings on anything in particular?
Not really, unless you want to ask a question or something stupid like that. No real thoughts. I just wanted to give my piece of mind as far as that was concerned.
Okay, well, that's a legitimate gripe, I guess. But, it doesn't always happen. Sometimes people wait a long time. Sometimes people don't wait at all. Now, if you call now, I guarantee you won't wait for a very long time at all. So if that's the reason you're not calling, give us a call.
Well, you should, like, let everyone know. Well, you can, you know, just say there's no lines, you know, open now or no lines closed.
Right. Right now we just have one line open, so...
Right, that's like the best thing I could hear. That would make me want to call up as opposed to, four lines free, you know, just...
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, I think you're right. People don't respond to negativeness, right?
Not as well as they do to positiveness, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll keep that in mind.
No problem. Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
632-6901. Okay, we have two lines open, and we're going to go to this line. Good evening. Yes, come in. Uh-oh.
The number you have reached, 358-9209, has been disconnected.
Well, that certainly sends a shiver down my spine. 358-9209, I wonder what that is. Good evening.
Is this Eric Corley?
Hold on. Yes, it is.
Do you have a bill for some blue suede shoes?
Yeah, well, you have to talk to my accountant for that.
Okay.
Good evening.
Oh, another comment on the flag burning issue.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think that the flag burning issue is probably a setup just for a bunch of hosers, really.
Uh-huh.
That's all I wanted to say.
Well, now, I'm afraid the hosers might ask what you mean by that.
Well, let's hear from some hosers.
It's a setup for some hosers.
Actually, yeah, that's what I think. It's a setup for hosers. Set up for the flags to be hosed.
Ah, very good.
I'll see you.
Okay, thanks for calling. 632-6901. That's what the kind of insight we're looking for, folks. Good evening.
Hi, I just want to say that the Oakland A's just won the World Series.
How could they have won the World Series in the first day?
First game they won.
Oh, okay. What was the score?
It was 5-0.
5-0. Was it in San Francisco or in Oakland?
In Oakland, right?
Wow, so the fans must be happy there, eh?
Yep. Well, I just want to say that, as a Mets fan, I feel...
I was just curious, though. You were watching the World Series, right?
Yeah.
Was your first thought as soon as it ended, my God, I've got to call Brain Damage and tell them?
No, I had the radio while I was watching it.
You mean
the headphones.
You had the picture of the World Series with our voices. That's incredible.
Yeah, and you guys are pretty boring tonight.
Thanks. All right. 632-6901. Yeah, I know. We're boring. Jim, we got to do something about this.
Oh, can you hear me?
Well, yeah, we're accused of being boring. We got to do something.
Well,
what are you
going to do? This caller just was very nice that he called to let us know that, but when we had the misunderstanding at the beginning of the conversation when he meant to say at first that... that Oakland won the first game of the series, and he accidentally just said they won the series.
Yeah.
That reminded me it tripped off my mind a thought about how funny it would be, at least to me, if the baseball season was run the way it's run, except for one big difference.
What's that?
That they only had one game of the World Series, and then I thought to myself, wait a minute, let me not stop there. What if they only had one inning in the World Series? And I said, no, wait a minute, let me not stop there. What if they had to constitute the entire World Series a system where the American League team and the National League team meet on the one day of the World Series. They choose, and one side, the side that wins, they flip a coin or something, and the side that wins gets to choose whether it wants to be designated the batting side or the pitching side. Well, let's say whatever team
is designated the batting side, sends one player up to bat, and whatever team is designated the pitching side has a pitcher on the mound with people out in the field. The batter gets up to the bat, and it's just a one-batter series. In other words, if that batter strikes out, pops out, is thrown out, then that side loses the World Series, the other side wins. On the other hand, if the batter gets on base, let's forget about even just a home run. If he gets on base, any base, his side wins. Can you imagine the pressure? At least I would think of it this way. The pressure that would be on that batter and that pitcher, that would determine the entire World Series. I mean, granted, there's a lot of pressure that can come about in the final game of the World Series on a batter and a pitcher, but imagine if that was the only thing that determined the winner of the World Series. Think of the strategy, the planning that would go into which batter was chosen and which pitcher was chosen by the respective teams. Eric, you're speechless, which tells me one of two things. Either you're absolutely stunned by what I just described, that you think it's one of the most imaginative things you ever heard, or the other alternative, which in my mind is probably the more likely alternative, you can't believe I had the nerve to bring up such an absurd notion.
Try to keep them outside. Can you just try to keep them outside? Sorry, Jim. No, it seems that your comments have actually spurred a spontaneous demonstration of the people outside, and I can't believe you'd actually pick my radio program to say something so controversial.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know it would create such controversy.
Listen to this. They want you off, man. Actually, they want your blood, it seems.
Oh, my gosh. My gosh, well, perhaps I can redeem myself with a little musical performance.
I don't think that would be in order. No. While we're fading Jim down, we're sorry. Okay, that got rid of them. 632-6901 is our telephone number. Maybe a little entertainment is in order. That'd be nice, you know, a little cheerfulness. Let's see what we can muster up here. Oh boy, I'm sorry, folks. I'm sorry. 632-6901. It's 11:31, and you're listening to Brain Damage. Now you're listening to a ring, but listening to Brain Damage. Yes, hi. Do you carry listings for Hell?
One moment. Yes, go ahead.
Okay, you carry Hell? Sorry, listings for Hell?
Yes.
Okay, I'm looking for the number for the 7-Eleven there.
One moment. I have nothing in the City of Hell. What street would it be on, please?
I'm not that familiar with it. Are you saying there's no 7-Eleven in Hell?
I'm showing nothing in that city. I'm sorry.
Okay. Thanks for confirming that suspicion. No 7-Elevens in Hell, and you heard it here first. Good evening.
No 7-Elevens in Hell?
Yeah. Something I've been wanting to prove for a long time.
Wow. You didn't ask for, what's that other store, the Quick Mart or something like that?
That's next week. What's on your mind?
Laurie Anderson.
Yeah, did you see her?
No, tomorrow.
Oh, at BAM?
BAM.
Oh, I wanted to see that, you know?
BAM.
Yeah, well, now, she hasn't released the album yet, has she?
No, it's supposed to be released the 17th.
I don't know many people that go on tour before the album comes out.
Well, she goes on tour spontaneously, I think.
Yeah, she does. This one is called Empty Spaces, right?
She really doesn't go on tour. She just sort of, like, goes on... What's the opposite of tour? Statutory? She goes on a...
Gosh, you know... She's unusual, though. Well, you're going to see her tomorrow, huh?
Yeah, tomorrow. 3:00.
3:00? Oh, a matinee, I guess, eh?
Yeah, I guess so. But we've got orchestra tickets. That's all that was left.
Uh-huh. You know, I remember seeing her a bunch of years ago. It was a 2-night performance for United States.
Yeah, I have that tape.
Yeah, it was incredible, because we went into BAM, and then we went back home, and then we went again. Yeah, you know? I think the next night, or maybe 2 nights in the future... And it was quite a performance. You know, she did a lot of stuff from records, a lot of stuff that's not on any records. And
they taped that, and I have that.
Yeah, well, there's now a record of United States. How many albums is that?
5 albums.
A 5-album set. My God, that's incredible. And I guess that's what's on that record is what I saw.
Yeah, probably.
Except, you know, you can't see it on the record. You can't see when she's like, she's got this incredible Bell logo in front of her at one point. And that was simply amazing.
Yes, simply amazing.
But she hasn't really done anything in a while.
Well, right? she did the show for Home of the Brave, which was a live show.
Right.
And then she's been doing work for Live from Off Center.
Right, the Channel 13 series.
Yeah, which is on, like, every blue moon on, like, 3 o'clock in the morning or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, they don't give it a very good time.
David Byrne was involved with that as well.
He was?
Yeah. I can't deal with David Byrne's new stuff, the Brazilian music.
Why not?
It just bores me.
Don't you like South American stuff?
Not really. I mean, I don't know, it just kind of bores me.
Well, you know, well, I like people that move through different phases, you know?
That, I mean, I definitely think that's great, but also that's also getting really sort of...
I mean, look, you had George Harrison, right, with the Beatles. He went into all this, like, Maharishi stuff.
Right.
Right, all this Indian jazz. And you've got David Byrne, who's into his South American phase. You've got Joe Jackson, who went into his jazz phase. You got Big Audio Dynamite people went into, like, hip-hop from rock and roll.
Paul Simon.
You got Paul Simon, who did the South African singers.
Mm-hmm.
Laurie Anderson, well, she goes through all the kinds of different phases on a regular basis. It's good when people take you with them on the trips that they're going through, instead of always putting out the same, you know, like Elton John or something like that, or,
yeah.
You know, they always do the same thing. You know, even Billy Joel, he goes through different phases, you know, he had his 52nd Street album, he had his punk rock album, and super quotes.
Rock album?
Yeah, it was, you know, Glass Houses, remember that?
Mm.
At the time. I mean, it was described that way, but it, of course it really isn't. You've had bands that, you know, they play jazz sometimes, or they try to play jazz, or they do reggae. It's just good when they explore and you go with them, you know? So, if you like, I assume you like David Byrne.
Yeah.
So,
I really like his.
If you like David Byrne, respect him enough to listen to what he's saying. And he is saying something by having a different style of music. And, you know, you should listen to him and see, you know, you'll learn something from it.
Indeed.
Because that's why he's doing it. He's doing it because he's experiencing something different and he wants to share it. It's like, you know, if you really respected John Lennon, then you respected Yoko because John respected Yoko. You see?
Yeah.
That's how I reply to all those people that hate Yoko so much.
Although not many people respect Yoko right now.
Well, you know, right now it's different, but I'm saying, you know, in the midst of things.
In medias res.
Yeah. When did that record come out, by the way?
Which one?
The David Byrne record.
I don't know. It came out, I think, in the past 2 weeks, maybe 2 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
Maybe a little bit longer ago.
Yeah, because I remember hearing it a few weeks ago. I wasn't sure if it was released yet, though.
But he did a really good, instrumental album for the Catherine Wheel, which is really worth picking up if anyone's out there and wants to listen to something really good and instrumental by him.
Uh-huh. Well, anything else on your mind?
Not really.
Okay. Well, have fun at Laurie Anderson.
Thank you very much.
And we'll hear from you again soon. Okay, 632-6901. Jim Wiener has just stalked out of the room for some reason. We don't know why. We'll try to get back to you on that and see just what's going on near the studios. Good evening. A sweet tone. I love sweet tones because they do all kinds of horrible things, like disconnect the phone that they came in on. All this sweet tones, there's intercept recordings, there's busy signals, there's reorders. Electronic mailboxes, computers, fax machines. It's the 1990s, folks, and you better get used to it. 632-6901, 23 minutes left. Let us know what you think of the stock market, if the stock market's going to crash, if there's aliens in the Soviet Union. Here's a funny story in today's paper. Two school board... Jim, I'm glad you're here. I want you to listen to the story.
Yeah, I got to tell you something.
Okay, go ahead.
Quickly.
I'll turn on your mic.
I mean, it's not, you know, I don't want to alarm anybody. Just no reason to be alarmed.
Building's on fire.
No.
Nuclear war.
No. There's a silent demonstration going on by members of the staff in an adjacent studio here.
Silent demonstration?
Yeah.
Okay. They're going to shut up, in other words.
Apparently.
Oh, that's good. What are they demonstrating for?
Against you or something.
Let's see if we can listen to them.
I don't think they're in there. Yeah. Oh no, they're two studios down.
They're two studios down.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can bring them up. No. Well, of course they're silent, so there they are. There, that hum.
Mm.
That's them.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Anyway, no, I want you to hear this. It's called Racial Bias on Gridiron, okay? It's a very, very short story here. Two school board members resigned and several athletes quit the football team at the all-white East Holmes Academy in West Mississippi. Now, it's not West Mississippi, it's a town called West in Mississippi. It's one of those weird places. After the private school forfeited a game with a school that is fielding a black player, East Holmes headmaster Frank Drake...
Sir, could you repeat that again? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think I should repeat that. Two school board members resigned, and seven athletes quit the football team at the all-white East Holmes Academy in West Mississippi after the private school forfeited a game with a school that is fielding a black player.
Okay.
So it's all-white team forfeited a game with another team that had a black player, and two school board members resigned, several athletes quit the team as a result. East Holmes headmaster Frank Drake, who said the school would not play Columbus Heritage Academy, which has the first black player in North Central AA Conference history, said race had nothing to do with the decision. He said the action involved something private that he would not discuss.
Well,
that's just in case anyone thinks that, you know, we're really moving ahead really fast here. Just to sort of sober you up a little bit.
That's in, where, in Mississippi, you said?
Yeah. I mean, they refuse to play a football team for reasons that they won't discuss, something private, you know?
Well, I mean, it is possible.
Oh, yeah, it's possible.
It is possible.
How many reasons can you think of that a whole team would forfeit for something private that nobody knows what it is?
I don't know. I mean, it's possible. I mean, it is possible, and perhaps he's bound to protect some matter of privacy that he can't reveal it. It's possible. I mean, it has nothing to do with race. I mean, it could be. It's just that in this day and age, with it seems so much happening... in the way of racial conflict, one certainly is given to make the assumption that race is involved.
I think there was racism involved here. I mean, come on. First of all, the fact that this is the first black player in history in the North Central AA Conference, where have they been? You know, what's happening here?
Well, questions might be raised by that in any event. And it is possible there is some coincidence that it has nothing to do with the fact that it is a black player on the team.
Mm-hmm.
But what I think it shows is that it's such a shame that there is so much... there seems to be, to me, so much... instances of racial conflict going on nowadays that one feels bound to assume that it's not illogical to assume that.
Well, you know, it's a two-pronged thing because a lot of people are trying to say, oh, there's no racism involved, and then you got the media, which loves racism because...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they thrive on it.
Yes.
So they turn things into racism when it's not racism.
That's right. There are instances where that happens.
Right, and us ordinary folks are kind of caught in the middle there because, you know, there is, yes, there's some racism, and we're fools if we deny it, but at the same time, there isn't racism hiding under every rock.
No.
And people aren't at each other's throats because, you know, both black and white people and Jews and Gentiles and all kinds of other people don't like racism. It's not like one race wants racism and one doesn't. So it's, you know, it's we're together on something. And inside each group, there's also differences. There's not a monolithic mass of one group. You know, like the blacks don't feel one thing, the whites, the Jews, they don't feel, you know, there's all kinds of disagreements going on within each community. So that's something that the media doesn't really focus on because, you know, there's not much, you know, much money in harmony.
there's a lot
of conflict.
I would agree. I think you have a very good point. I think it's very true. It's an important point that you made. I think that many times what leads to conflict is the tendency on the part of some people sometimes to assume that a given group of people are a monolith in their opinions or in terms of certain characteristics or thoughts or feelings, and that in itself can lead to racially or... if not only racially, but charged situations amongst different groups of people, whether we're talking about race or religion or nationality.
Mm-hmm. And you know, it's kind of funny because the latest generalization that a lot of white people use is that if you say anything critical about a black person, they're going to scream racism, which that statement in itself is a form of racism because you're saying all the black people are going to say this because they're black. You know, it's like, you know, there's an element of truth with some people, I'm sure, but you know, to make that categorization about an entire race, It's kind of funny, actually, that
right.
sort of doubling back and hitting them again.
That's a very good point, and I think it's a very good point right there. And I think also that there are certainly instances where black people are justified in yelling racism, so to speak.
Sure.
Because very often they're black people are attacked based really only on their race. But the point that you make in line with that is very telling, very good point, that the mere complaint of some white people that criticizing any black person will yield an accusation of racism is in itself an unwarranted generalization about black people.
Right, right. So you got to ask yourself, I guess, each time, am I generalizing on either side?
Right.
You know, and never side with somebody just because they're a certain, you know, complexion, or even because mm-hmm. they're your friend, because your friends can be wrong. You know, make
mm-hmm.
your own mind up, and
yeah.
you don't necessarily have to stand on the rooftop and yell what you think, but at least, you know, think something.
Yes.
You know, that's the way I feel. Anyway,
enough of this
serious business here. 632-6901. Let's hear from our listeners out there. Area code 516-632-6901. We only have about 15 minutes left, so let's get as many different views on as many different subjects as possible. Good evening.
Hi, Eric.
Yeah.
Mike.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
Mike.
I haven't talked to you in a while.
Mike from... hold on, don't tell me. Wait, I'll guess. Spain. No, not Spain. What's that place that's in the direction of Spain?
Wedge of Mackerel.
No, that's not it. Wait, I'll get it.
Meh.
It's not as far as Spain. It's like... No, not Montauk. It's before Montauk, too.
Miller
Place, that's it. Thank you. How have you been?
Pretty good, yeah.
Oh, pretty good. Myself. Where have you been?
Just around. I don't know. I guess you went on a vacation or something a while back.
Yeah, I did sort of go away for 6 weeks. I guess that...
Yeah, and I don't know. I've been around.
Uh-huh. So you didn't go away anywhere, eh?
No. I went to Pennsylvania, like, just for a weekend.
Pennsylvania, huh?
Yeah,
that's a fun place.
Anywhere out of state, though.
Well, Pennsylvania's out of state.
Well, I mean...
Out of country, you mean?
Longer than the day.
Oh, right, okay.
I don't know. I went out of state.
Okay. So is anything fun and exciting happening with you?
Oh, actually, like, I was trying to call you last weekend during some other time. And I got this number on accident. And I still know the number, but I don't think I should give it out over the phone, over the radio.
No, you could call me afterwards. That's when people call
really
me with weird numbers.
It's someone's answering machine. I think it's phone mail.
Uh-huh.
And it's like a totally funny recording. It's really funny.
Okay, I'd like you to share that with me after the show, but you just reminded me of something that I want to call here on the radio.
Oh, super.
That's also very funny, and I think you might get a kick out of it, too.
But, you know, what also got me really mad is, like, after that, I thought I'd look up the number, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I called directory.
Yeah.
And I called directory, and that stupid strike is still going on.
Can you believe that? It's still going on.
It's annoying. Cause, like,
and I went crazy. I don't know if you heard me last week, but I went on a rampage last week because I just think it's outrageous that this strike is going on, and yet we're expected to pay full price for something that is at best half-assed.
I know. I can still hear the people out there rioting.
Yeah, they're rioting, chanting, throwing things. But you know, God bless them anyway. They're, you know,
they're standing up in what they believe in. Right?
Yeah, exactly. And they certainly are standing up, all of them. Yeah, there they are. Anyway,
well, did you get a new car?
Did I get a new car?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, new might not be the correct phraseology for that, but I got a different car. Let's put it that way.
Oh yeah, that's the one that you wanted to get, right?
Yeah, a different one. Yeah.
Cool.
A different. Yeah, just the one that I had, we couldn't reach an agreement on what I wanted it to do, mainly transport me around, so I figured I'd sort of keep it as a monument, and, well...
Oh, yeah.
That's these things happen, you know, you just got to get used to them, I guess.
Sure you do.
I just wonder if the stock market crash will affect things like that.
Was there another crash?
Well, it sort of dipped, you know, and they think it might crash on Monday.
It did, right?
Yeah, it's sort of like it's lost two of its engines, and... We'll see what happens on Monday.
All right.
All right, I'll call you after the show and tell you that number.
Okay, tell me that exciting number, and I'll call this exciting number on the air.
All right, that's really exciting.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Good hearing from you. 632-6901, area code 516. And if you're calling from an exotic place, if you're listening to this show for the first time, I really want to hear from you. I mean, you know, I just want to know if there are new people that we're reaching out there, if it's just the same old crowd everywhere, you know. If you're in a place that I think right now the furthest that we can be heard is no further west than Huntington, no further east than Riverhead, and maybe Bridgeport, Connecticut. So if anyone outside of those areas is hearing us, give us a call and just say so, and then, you know, you'll be making our day here, and, you know, making us realize that we're not always right about these things. Now, the number for you to call is 632-6901, but the number I want to call here is one I just discovered, which is amazing. It's the university has just gotten, close the door on them, okay, the university has just gotten a new state-of-the-art computer system that is for the billing operations of students on campus. And the voice of this thing is just so amazing. It's like some 1950s science fiction movie. I'm gonna call it up now, and you're gonna hear for yourself what I'm talking about. And we'll try to enter some numbers as it asks us to, but I'm sure we won't get them right. So maybe somebody on campus can help me with this later after the show. I'll have more information next week. Let's give it a call. The new state-of-the-art computer system.
Welcome to account information. This call will cost 20 cents. Please enter your charge number now.
Okay, my charge number, 12345.
Please re-enter your charge number now.
Okay, 98765.
Please re-enter your charge number now.
Okay, 52s.
Please enter your telephone number now.
I got one right. Well, let's enter my phone number. Let's see, I'm on campus, so I'll enter my campus number.
Please re-enter your telephone number now.
Okay, I'll enter another number.
Please re-enter your telephone number now.
All right, I'll give it one more shot.
Invalid telephone number. Call discontinued. Goodbye.
Wow, dramatic, isn't it? I don't know where they found that thing or what it's actually doing, but that is the funniest computer I've heard in many a year. I mean, they kind of have music, you know, in the background, like this little computer noise from Star Trek and things like that. If anybody understands what that is or is on campus and wants to make use of it, give me a call after the show and we'll try to figure it out. 632-6901 is our telephone number here. It's 11:51. We only have 9 minutes left, so give us a call if you're out there. Good evening. Okay, a tone. That wasn't very exciting in itself, but tones, I don't laugh at tones. Oh, Jim, yes. Go ahead, Jim.
Two thoughts come to mind.
Yeah.
First of all, can you imagine if the person at the other end of that line was a live person doing that in that voice? Or alternatively, can you imagine if that person is either the batter or the pitcher from my revised version of the World Series?
I can't imagine where they got a voice like that in this day and age. I really can't.
Or unless any age, for that matter.
They recorded it off the day the Earth stood still or something, you know? I mean, that is the computer of the 1950s, no question about it. I mean, I just want to hear the voice one more time. Come on. We won't enter anything this time. We'll just listen to him, but it's just so funny.
Welcome to account information. This call will cost 20 cents. Please enter your charge number now.
I'm not going to say a thing. We're just going to sit here and have him get all frustrated. Ha. We can deal with this.
Goodbye.
Oh. Okay. Be like that.
He sounds like the max headroom of billing, actually.
Wow. I just hung up on that. I can imagine this robot sitting in the administration building just like slamming down the phone. How much do you think they're paying this robot? Oh, boy. 632-6901. And, of course, if anybody has any other funny computers out there, please let us know where they are, because we like to track them down. Good evening.
Good evening. Oh, it's a wonder this show is not making you into a nervous wreck.
Well, we are nervous wrecks.
Oh.
Yeah, that's how they find us, you know, people who just sort of wander around in circles and they say, hey, we'd like to do a radio show.
Well, I wanted to make a comment on racism.
Okay.
As far as where it starts, because I feel that it starts in grade one. Definitely starts in the school system, and I think that's probably the most important step in development of a human being, the first and second grade.
Uh-huh. Well, how about before that, though? How about in the home, you know?
Oh, in the home as well. I think that's, you know, that's, it all should tie in a system of growth for the child. And if it doesn't, or let's just say that if racism isn't, just give me a second to put this together. If racism isn't talked about I don't know how to do it in say when you have a young child, that if racism isn't introduced as a foe, that's right, at an early age, and then the child goes into school and meets up with it and can recognize it and be able to handle it differently than if it took the child by surprise, that there would be a less dramatic effect on that child and probably later on in life in society.
Okay. So you're saying that addressing it is the best way to counter it.
Oh, absolutely.
Right, okay. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. And, you know, you have to keep in mind that, you know, racism, I think you're right. Racism is something that's like sexism and like, you know, other beliefs, something that you get in the family in the early part of your life, and that someone who stands up for something that we say is unacceptable most times is doing that because that's just what he knows, you know, that's what he's been taught, and he's standing up for his family beliefs. So, you know, there's a way to kind of gently admonish that kind of thing, and I think if you're not very confrontational about it, you usually can be successful in changing somebody. But if you make it into, I don't know, you know, of course you have to be, you know, you have to battle this thing, you know.
Yeah, it's got to be battled, and I think that it can't be, you know, that speaking about before the school system,
right.
Just in the home, that parents should be able to recognize their child's abilities and or disabilities,
right?
Early on. I mean, there's no school for parents, but you know, if too much damage isn't done before they hit school, that I feel that the teachers' jobs are extremely important and should probably be paid a lot more. And in that case, we
sure,
will
I
have
mean,
better teachers.
Teachers are probably the most important position that there is. I mean, what is
they're
more
abused.
Important? Yeah.
And they're totally abused and overlooked and treated as, oh, you're a teacher, which is just like a traffic cop.
Yeah, exactly. And think about, you know, what kind of people come out with, you know. I mean, looking back, it's a lot easier to say these things when you're looking back on them. When you're in the midst of it, of course, it's a lot harder to actually look upon a teacher in a favorable way. But they really do a lot, you know. And
oh,
they can
and,
do
well,
it. They don't always,
to draw
can.
An analogy.
Right.
Traffic cops wear white gloves, all right, and they wear a uniform. And they have respect from the community, but they don't get paid. And it's a job that somebody has to do and has to do absolutely right, or else there's going to be a tremendous traffic jam.
Yeah, it's, traffic cops get paid, don't they?
Oh, yeah, right. Do they get paid?
I think
they do.
Well, I know the ones in the city sure do, because I don't think they'd volunteer to do that. But maybe meter maids, I don't know, not meter maids, crossing guards, maybe they don't get paid. I don't know. That's something that I've never wondered about, but I guess I should start.
Well, I still think that grade one is where the best or the most important work should be done in developing a child.
But you don't want to make everybody the same either, you know? You don't want to, like, preach this doctrine to people. You know, you want people to understand things, but understand why, too, you know? Understand why they believe in something. And if they disagree, you know, explain why you disagree and that kind of thing.
I have too many whys.
Yeah, well, that's what makes us succeed, are the whys.
Right.
Anyway, thanks for calling. Take care. Should we take one more call? All right, I'm going to pick one at random. Here we go. Good evening.
I'm glad you picked up that call. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Susan.
It's me.
Susan, wow. You know, I guess it was fate that directed my finger to push that button. Wow, how have you been?
Shouldn't I? I'm glad you did.
I'm glad I did, too.
I have a question.
All right, make it fast, because we're running out of time.
Okay, whatever happened to that cat or tiger or whatever it was that people supposedly were seeing?
You know, that's a good question. He just sort of disappeared into the forest. Maybe he never existed, like the UFOs in the Soviet Union.
Maybe the UFOs took him back.
Maybe, I don't know. I'd hate to think that it's out there and people just said, forget about it.
That is pretty funny. We just completely forgot about it, and there's a wild cat in the woods somewhere in Yapmang.
In another 5-10 years. You remember the alligator movies? It's going to happen like that.
And it's growing. It's growing, and it's breeding. And come the spring, there'll be 50 wildcats on Long Island, and they'll be all over the place, from north to south, east and west.
Yeah, but you need a second wildcat for that.
All over the place.
Yeah, yeah.
Another question.
Yeah.
Quick one.
Where?
You would know this. You know that voice, that computer voice that you were playing?
Yeah.
Is that a real human being?
No, that's got to be a synthesizer. But we should name him. What do you want to name him?
Elroy.
Elroy? What do you think, Jim?
That's very good.
All right, Elroy it is.
Elroy the accounts, whatever.
Elroy in the administration building who works 24 hours a day.
Right.
And if anybody needs the number for Elroy, well, you should already have it if you're on campus, but if somebody could explain to me how it works, I'd sure like to know.
They should have another computer telling people what their GPAs are.
Yeah, and now offering them the option to change it if they want. Well, we'll see about that.
All right, well, tell Jim I say hi, and good show.
Hi,
okay.
Sue.
Well, obviously you can't hear Jim, but Jim says hi to you.
Oh, tell him I say hi.
And, well, he hears you.
Thank you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
hi,
he thanked you for that. Well, Susan, maybe I'll see you someday, huh?
I would hope so.
Yeah, it would be nice.
All right.
Okay, give me a call sometime.
Will do.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, well, I guess that's going to pretty much wrap it up for us since we're, you know, on overtime and everything like that. Let's see who's around. Let's look in Studio 2. Oh, there seems to be gunfire in Studio 2. Well, what the hell is going on here?
How's that for a closing theme for your show, huh?
No, that's no good. That's no good.
No? This is the end of the Eric Corley program. No?
No.
No.
Okay. Say goodnight, Jim.
Goodnight.
Wait, I'm looking for my outro here. We still have the same outro, folks. So we haven't changed that. I don't know where Pete Tang is. Lister's around somewhere, and all kinds of other people are floating about. But, Jim, thanks for being here.
Thank you very much for having me.
And I know you say you can't stay for the whole show, so I guess you'll be cutting out early now. Huh?
So, gotta go right now.
Yeah, I gotta go before the theme starts. Well, we'll see you again, in 3 weeks?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Look forward to it, unless I go to Europe again or something. Or unless you go to Bermuda or points east. Thanks, everybody who called. Thanks especially to those of you who didn't, because I'm sure you had nothing interesting to say. We'll be back again next week with brain damage. Probably better quality of brain damage, though. You know, brain damage is something progressive. You know, it changes from week to week, and that's what we try to do. This is WUSB in Stony Brook. Eric Corley saying goodnight, peace, all that kind of junk. Bye.
The lunatic